GATS 101 podcast. My name is Monica Holland. I'm a certified GATS coach and nutritional therapist. And thank you so much for joining me. I'm here to interview health experts, share healing stories, provide practical tips, and answer your questions to help you on your healing journey. I'm very honored to interview a very special guest today. My guest is Svetlana, who is a registered homeopath and holistic health coach, and she specializes in PCOS. She is passionate about boosting women's health in quantum leaps and helping them become PCOS symptom-free naturally. Together with Svetlana, we explored hormonal issues many women struggle with in part one of the Hormonal Issues podcast. And today we will answer the questions from How to GAPS community members. If you are listening to this podcast, please make sure you check out the part one of the Hormonal Health podcast with Svetlana. So we have plenty of very specific questions from our members related to hormonal health. Are you ready to rock and roll, Svetlana?
Absolutely, Monica. Thank you so much for having me. It's an honor to be here today and to hopefully bring some insights to the How to GAPS community questions.
I am very excited, and I'm sure our audience is very excited too. So the first question comes from Ingrid. Ingrid, I hope I am pronouncing your name properly. But the first question is, I would like to hear about the difference between bioidentical progesterone and synthetic progesterone, and the importance of bioidentical progesterone in NAH. And maybe kill the myth that progesterone is a female sex hormone. After turning 50, our husband needed to.
Indeed. So the difference between bioidentical and synthetic is that in the bioidentical, the product is chemically identical to the one that your body produces or doesn't produce enough of. However, according to the FDA, the hormones marketed as bioidentical and natural, are not safer than hormones used in traditional hormone therapy. And there's no evidence that they are any more effective. So progesterone is essential at any age. Low levels in childbearing years means reduced fertility and higher risk of miscarriage. In menopause, low progesterone means higher risk of breast and endometrial cancer, higher risk of osteoporosis, of heart disease, and of depression. And you're absolutely right, Ingrid, although progesterone is a female hormone, men also need it to produce testosterone. Just like in females, the adrenal glands, along with the testes, produce progesterone. However, in my opinion, hormone replacement therapy or supplementing with bioidentical progesterone is a rather reductionist approach to health. The conventional medical system has trained us to use a myopic view and to think in very simplistic terms. You know, if it exceeds, we cut. If there's not enough, we add. The human body and hormonal health is mind-blowing in its complexity, and it engages thousands of interdependent chain reactions, most of which we're still unaware of, and perhaps we will never even comprehend. So I'm a bit cautious with personally with supplementing in progesterone, and I rather prefer to use the holistic approach, where we focus on your personal experience and we work at a foundational energetic level to restore balance from within so that you do not need to supplement anything.
It's so important. Even Dr. Natasha recommends against using any supplements at the very first couple of weeks on a GAPS diet. If it's necessary, then there are ways, but let the food be the medicine, let the holistic approach be your solution. Mm-hmm. But we do have a question, second question is from Jessica. And Jessica says, I would like to learn more about blood sugar balance and that relating to hormones.
Yeah, it's a very interesting question that takes us to the root of PCOS and one of the key to its management. And so we spoke about it in the first part of the podcast. So, Jessica, I invite you to listen to it. I'll just, you know, summarize here that the key underlying triggers for PCOS are chronic low-grade inflammation and oxidative stress. And what is a major cause of inflammation? We know is sugar. So sugar increases insulin levels, which in turn contributes to androgen production. This starts a vicious cycle because excessive androgen increases glucose sensitivity. Also, another detail is that across all weight classes of PCOS, there is an incidence of abdominal adiposity. So this kind of the weight, increased weight at the belly. And the inflamed adipose tissue contributes to the inflammatory load. And Dr. Gabrielle Lyon speaks in detail about reframing fat as the organ of inflammation and muscle as the organ of longevity. So I think it's an interesting also approach.
Great. Thank you, Svetlana. We've got another question from Laura. And Laura says, I've been in menopause for 8 years. Started off with terrible panic attacks. Several daily, all of the sudden, and that went on for years. But now, those have gone and are replaced with adrenaline rushes and that shoot through my body when I get too warm. I feel it's rough on my body, particularly digestion. I wonder how I can get rid of this issue. I blame my hormones. Daily, I'm very calm, happy person. I'm not stressed at all, but physically, my body says otherwise.
So, Laura, excuse me. Unfortunately, you know, I cannot give individualized health advice here, but in homeopathy, we see it time and time again, the connection where women cease to have their cycle, go into menopause, and it's as if the body is lacking this eliminatory pathway and has to manifest illness at another deeper level. And so you describe first panic attacks, and this is typical what we see. So you had perhaps, I'm just guessing here wildly, some troubles with your cycles. And then when you went into menopause, the imbalance manifested at a deeper emotional level with panic attacks. And what you describe could be increased adrenal activity. The only way to get rid of this issue is to look at your whole being, to identify the musical discord, to fine-tune your body's energetic vibration so that all systems find balance naturally and your body produces a harmonious melody again.
And I would like to add to it. Laura, I'm unsure if you listened to podcast part one, when Svetlana and I talked about the risk of looking at one symptom only. It could mean so many things. So working with a health practitioner who will assess all your symptoms. And there actually might be symptoms you might think are not related to adrenal or hormonal health, but experienced health professional will be able to assess all of them, assess your lifestyle, assess your diet, and make those bio-individual recommendations. Otherwise, we are risking here a lot of guessing and we're risking making assumptions. The next question is from Linia. And her question is, what things in our everyday life have the biggest negative impact on our hormones? Hygiene products, plastic, perfume, EMFs?
All of those. Endocrine disruptors and EMF play a huge role in, again, in chronic low-grade inflammation, and also non-tangible things like chronic stress, lack of exercise, poor sleep, toxic relationships.
Well, quite often we focus only on a diet and supplements, but we forget about those non-tangible things. And I love how you actually call them non-tangible. I know so many women who do everything right in terms of diet, exercise, but then they use their phone in bed just before falling asleep, and they sleep with the phones close to their heads. So looking again holistically on in our lifestyles and our habits, and looking at every single thing what you've mentioned, Linia, hygiene products, plastic, perfumes, EMFs, that will have impact on your hormones and overall health. So the next question is from Heather. I would love to know more about hormones in general and how to rebalance them. How menstrual hormones impact the gut and vice versa? And what about the thyroid and menstrual cycle?
So Heather, this is a very interesting and very wide question, which we covered partly in the part one of the podcast. And just again to summarize in a nutshell, the important, you know, the takeaway information is that PCOS is characterized by a chronic state of inflammation and insulin resistance. And the underlying culprit here could be leaky gut. So again, it confirms Dr. Natasha Campbell-McBride's research that dysbiosis leading to leaky gut is at the root cause of all chronic and autoimmune illnesses, and addressing that would be already a significant step forward in the healing journey.
And I would like to add a little bit to that as well, because this is my personal experience. When I started GAPS, I thought my hormones were okay, and how wrong I was. Because at that time, I accepted many of the worrisome symptoms like menstruation cramps, pains, heavy menstruation, feeling extremely emotional and angry. But on a reflection, and after so many years on GAPS and also seeing many clients with hormonal imbalances, the hormones are changing and adjusting when you're on a GAPS diet. So for instance, I lost my period for several months, but as soon as my gut healed and sealed, the gut rebalanced my hormonal balance, and now I actually don't even know that I have period. I have no cramps, no pains, no tender, no painful breasts. My period lasts 4 to 5 days. I have no leaky days, and you know what I'm talking about, ladies. And I've actually never thought that this is possible, because, you know, all women complain about menstruation symptoms to some extent, and we just accept it because your sister has it, your friend has it. But as soon as your gut is sealed, you stop the toxin flowing into your bloodstream, and those toxins will stop affecting already sensitive hormonal system. So just get that meat stock in, Heather. Then the next question is from Juliana. Juliana complains a lot about face acne when she stopped birth control. When and how will her skin clear? And what is the best healing strategy for her? And is there a quick fix?
That is a great question, and also a very common consequence of taking the pill. What few people know, and strangely enough, what OBGYNs fail to mention to their patients, is that birth control is classified by the World Health Organization as a class 1 carcinogenic. What is a class 1 carcinogenic? Asbestos, for instance. So you can only imagine the toxic load induced by the pill accumulated over years, accumulated from perhaps your mother took the pill for another 20, 30 years, how it contributes to inflammation load. And it is suddenly not so surprising that 1 in 10 women currently has PCOS. And Juliana, as you probably know by now, there is no quick fix. All the things that we spoke about are important, and they all will help you in your healing journey.
Okay, so our next question is from Maga. And Agla wants to know about a sexual drive. How can we rebalance our hormones to drive that fire back in us? I love that question.
Yeah, it's a great question. Of course, reproductive health and libido are intimately intertwined. In a woman, her libido peaks during the ovulation phase. If there is no ovulation, as in most, you know, PCOS cases, you can imagine that the libido will be, you know, significantly lower. So again, there is no quick fix here. Looking at a holistic perspective, addressing all the things that we spoke about, getting your hormones balanced again, will bring your fire within back.
Mm. And yeah, I would say that, you know, if you are missing that sexual spark you used to have, well, as soon as your hormonal balance is restored, it will come back.
Absolutely.
The next question is from Mary. Mary would like to know which mineral is the most important for balanced hormonal health.
I'm not a naturopathic doctor, but I generally recommend my patients with PCOS to supplement in magnesium and in sodium. So a little bit about magnesium. Apparently, it's reported that 50% of women are deficient in magnesium. The fact is, in order to process sugar, the body has to tap into magnesium reserves. And considering the fact that the average adult consumes 22 teaspoons of sugar per day, it's not really surprising that half of us are magnesium deficient. Magnesium is critical in many important functions of the body. It helps to boost progesterone. It supports thyroid function. It helps to lower cortisol, which is the stress hormone. It reduces blood sugar. It helps with digestion and sleep. And I like Dr. Barb Wergerer. She has a very insightful page on Instagram, almost dedicated to magnesium and its benefits. And about salt, it turns out that just like for cholesterol, the public has been lied to about sodium, which has been vilified instead of the real culprit, the other white powder, sugar. Salt is as essential to survival as water, and we are salty creatures, you know, all our excretions are salty. Salt also boosts sexual health, and in animal husbandry, it's well known that animals that have access to a salt lick are more eager to mate, they produce more milk, they have bigger litters in both number of pups and weight of the pups. And if you'd like to learn more about that, about salt, you know, in general and its role in human health, I invite you to read The Salt Fix by Dr. James D. Nicole Antonio.
Oh, I haven't read it yet, and I will definitely add it to my ever-growing reading list. But this is so important. You know what? I think that we are victims of what we hear on the media, And you know, we keep hearing, do not eat salt because it's so bad for you. But let's just quickly differentiate the table salt from a mineral salt for a second, because table salt is a highly processed product where all the good minerals are basically stripped from naturally occurring mineral salt, and what is left is just sodium and chloride. And basically, table salt is a dead product, yes, which will not help with your healing. And this is very interesting, because the rest of the minerals which were actually, you know, stripped from a salt are sold to companies producing supplements. But now if we compare it to the naturally occurring salt, and that includes, let me just think about a specific example, Celtic sea salt, unprocessed sea salt, pink Himalayan salt, and so on. They contain all the necessary trace minerals and therefore are very healthy for us. So when you buy salt, please choose unprocessed mineral salt. Personally, I like Celtic grey salt. It's a bit wet, it's grey, and it's coarse. And I know that by consuming that Celtic grey salt, I'm providing a mixture of trace minerals in a natural form, which my body metabolizes without problem. Okay, so the next question is from Sally. Sally says, what would you recommend for those who want to take control of their lifestyle before trying to get pregnant for the sake of the mother's pre- and postnatal health, ease of conception, and future health of the child?
So all the advice that we've discussed and all of the, you know, the aspects of one's life and of one's lifestyle are important. And so, of course, you know, implementing as much as possible of this would already be significant. And then I would invite you to consult a homeopath to optimize your health, because homeopathy will make you less susceptible to develop illness, and also it will improve your child's general health. And there is such a thing as pregnancy homeopathy, where women are given a specific, almost like supplementing kind of approach, to make sure that the body has all the essential nutrients necessary to produce a healthy, happy child without robbing too much of the mother's reserves either.
Great answer. The next question is from Bronwyn, and she would like to know how to heal from amenorrhea on GAPS and relationship between gaining weight on GAPS and hormone function and poor sleep and hormones.
Sorry, this is rather a question for you, Monica, I believe.
I'm happy to answer it. So gaining or end or losing weight, it could be also a sign of many things. Well, one of the things is the liver is not working. The other reason for gaining or losing weight is that it could be caused by inflammation. And most of the gutters, we do have chronic inflammation in our bodies. The other thing to consider is, in many cases, weight gain is actually a way for the body to protect itself from toxins. And until you've got the toxins in your body, until you've got heavy metals in the body, until you've got that yeast overgrown in your body, then you will have that excess of weight. So your body needs to be ready to move them out. And I'm not too sure if you've heard Dr. Natasha speaking in one of her interviews that actually gaining weight on GAPS is temporary part of the brain detoxing. So I wouldn't worry too much about it, but I would also advise to have a full assessment of what you're consuming, are the symptoms you're having, with a GAPS coach who could actually look at the holistic picture. But you know, obviously there are little tweaks you can do to the diet to optimize that situation, like focus on more on eating organs rather than animal organs, rather than eating let's say muscle meats, and drink more water with fresh squeezed lemon in it. But yeah, I would advise get a full assessment from a GAPS coach, get assessment from a homeopath like Svetlana, because you know the life changes need to be implemented to make sure that that hormonal balance, that weight gain, first of all to exclude that it's hormonal, and to assess what is the root cause. Is there anything else you've got to add, Svetlana, to that question?
No, Monica, I just would like to second what you said about fat being the organ of inflammation. There is, you know, mounting evidence that this is what exactly the purpose of fat, and this is why the body produces and compiles this fat to store inflammation that the body just doesn't know what to do with and cannot evacuate it, eliminate it.
Absolutely. So the next question we've got from Juliana. Juliana actually's got four questions. So first question is, what are the symptoms that indicate some has PCOS? What should someone pay attention to? Second one is, conventional doctors prescribe birth control pills to correct PCOS. What are the natural treatments available for it? And number three, are there any other health issues derived from PCOS? And the fourth one, is irregular cycle always associated to PCOS? And if I could just make a comment, Svetlana was talking about the impact of the birth control pills, inflammation, and all the symptoms in the podcast one. So, Juliana, if you could revisit the previous podcast, because I'm sure, Svetlana, you could perhaps just give us a very quick summary. But I think answering those four questions will take another 40 minutes, and it's already been recorded on part one. So, Juliana, I do invite you to listening to the part one of this podcast.
Yes, for time, you know, management, I'll just answer in bullet points, Juliana, if that's okay with you, and then invite you to listen to part one. So the symptoms that indicate PCOS that you can notice are, acne, hair loss, hair growth on your face or on your chest, missing periods, very heavy periods, and pain in the lower abdomen, in the sides where the ovaries are. Birth control does not correct PCOS. It only gives the illusion it does. What birth control does is that it suppresses your body's natural hormonal production and replace it with a synthetic one instead. And the day you stop the birth control, you're back at square one minus, because of the toxic load induced by the pill. So there are plenty of natural treatments available to correct PCOS, and these are, you know, lifestyle, basically low toxicity lifestyle, low carb diet with a focus on gut health, and natural remedies to boost your body's healing capacity. And your third question was the health issues. So the most important ones are diabetes, heart attack, and high blood pressure. And your last question was about irregular cycles. So irregular cycles can be a symptom of PCOS, but not necessarily. And if you have irregular cycle, of course, you should consult with your GP or OBGYN to get tested, to get blood samples and ultrasound to confirm the PCOS diagnosis.
Thank you, Svetlana. And we've got the last question. It's from Erin. I have a friend that has fibroids and they are giving her the option of hysterectomy. She's trying to avoid that and she wants to have another child with her new husband. I would love to help her find options for fertility without synthetic treatments. Which is the other option they gave her?
Yes, Erin, I would also love for your friend to file alternative treatments for fertility rather than have her organs cut out. The hysterectomy, again, aligns with a simplistic philosophy. You know, if it exceeds, we cut. If there's not enough, we add. It focuses. It's very myopic. You know, oh, the uterus here is a problem. Let's just cut it out. The truth is that growth in the body are common. And cutting off the location of the growth doesn't address the process which resulted in the growth. The growth is only, the fibroid is only the physical manifestation of a disturbance which stimulates the body to produce it. So, and this is what needs to be addressed, this disturbance. To my knowledge, only homeopathy can address this level of disturbance. I would recommend your friend to look for an experienced, a registered homeopath who specializes in fertility and women's health.
Thank you, Svetlana. That was our last question for now. And I am so grateful that you've shared all these insights and you took time to answer our members' questions. And I'm sure it helped many listeners to understand their hormonal health a bit better. And obviously, for those who would like to contact you for further hormonal consultation, they can find you on our How to GAPS Facebook group. But what are the ways of reaching out to you, Svetlana?
So there is a website. My website is www.dynamize.co. So dynamize.co, and also have a Facebook page where you can reach out to me directly. And if you type into your Facebook search bar, Svetlana Health Coach, that should come up.
Fantastic. So this is the end of part two of our podcast about hormonal health. If you have not listened to part one, please do so, as there are a lot of valuable information, tips about the hormones and PCOS. And obviously, thank you, our How to GAPS members, for all the questions. And if you are not How to GAPS member yet, please find our group on Facebook. It is How to GAPS, to us a number, or go to our website, www.howtogaps.com, to us a number. And when you join us, please say hello. Tell us you've listened to our podcast. Tell us what you've liked. And tell us what you would like to learn from our future podcast. And we will make this happen. This podcast is made possible by listeners like you. So please, please, please share this podcast with people who may benefit from it. Thank you so much for your support. And thank you, Svetlana, again for your insights.
Thank you so much, Monica, for having me. It's been a real delight to be here today. And I sincerely hope that to all the listeners that you know, that you had the answers that you were looking for. And hopefully that gave, you know, that you have more curiosity to look for holistic solutions for PCOS, understand that it's not a fatality, something that you have to live with for the rest of your life, that there are solutions out there. And yeah.
Thank you. Thank you, Paul.
Thank you so much, Monica.
Thank you.